Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And as you find that, I'd like to share a couple of thoughts with you. First of all, Grace Point is growing, and I know we seem to be a little low in crowd today, but we've got about 50 at camp this morning. So that's part of them. And then, of course, a lot of folks traveling, a lot of folks that are having to get over things that happened at their homes this week. How many of you have trees down? Most everybody who has trees. I tell you, we were very blessed. Lots of trees several trees and limbs down, and not one bit of, very little damage to the home. So thank you, Lord God. Amen. None of you had to come to the pastor's house to cut up trees because his son from Costa Rica was home and did that for us. So thank you, Dusty. I appreciate you there, my brother. In Mark chapter 10, we are going to be reading in just a moment. We're going to be talking about children. But dear friends, we have begun with our children's preparation. Many of you know that we're preparing to build a new building right next door here for the children's ministry and also to increase the space for our adults. But we've begun that building campaign and a fundraising effort to increase our children's ministry and ministry area. Well, it wasn't too long ago, a very tired stay-at-home mom answered the knock at her front door to find the preacher from the church standing at her doorstep. He looked right at her and he said, "I just want you to know that I'm here because we're collecting donations for our new children's home that we're building, and I'm just asking you to give what you can." In her exhaustion, the woman looked at the pastor and she said, "Absolutely, absolutely," this worn-out woman said. She says, "I'll give you two boys or two girls or one of each." We are looking for you to bring your children to church, but not in that manner, okay? We love them. We truly do. And I tell you what, there are so many here, and we are so blessed to have so many who love the Lord and love children. So I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10 again. And would you stand with me in preparation for reading God's word? Mark chapter 10. And as you find that, you're going to look as you're looking through the word, kind of look at that first part of that chapter. And in verses 1 through 5 there in Mark chapter 10, if you have the headings in your Bible, you'll notice it says that Jesus is teaching about divorce, a subject that needs to be addressed more and more these days, and to remind us that God hates divorce. Listen, we realize that things happen, right? We realize that things have gone on in the past of your life. And I want you to know that God loves you right where you are, and he wants you to have the best. So wherever you are right now, you look to the Lord God for your strength and your help in your marriage. Amen? That's why I've been preaching and teaching on the family regularly, but especially this month. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus speaks about divorce. In verse 6, we read again. Look at verse 6, and what does it say there? It said what? Somebody just say it out loud. Male and female. He what? He created them. There it is again. How many times over this last month have I read that verse to you? Male and female created he them. Listen, there is a reason that God put in there, male and female created he them. And if we're going to have a ministry to children, you need to let them know how God created them, that he loves them right where they are. They don't have to change. They don't need to change. God doesn't want them to change who they are. He wants them to change in the understanding of how much he loves them. Amen? So male and female created he them. Verse 6. Verse 7 through 12, Jesus is talking about marriage again, and he's talking about divorce, and he's talking about adultery. Talk about a heavy chapter here, folks. And then in verse 13, we have a very marked change. Something happens. Something changes. And right in the midst of this very adult conversation, right in the middle of this very adult teaching and sermon that Jesus is teaching, we have a message about ministry to children. Marriage, divorce, adultery, more about divorce. By the way, now let's talk about kids. Why not? Kids are part of the family too, right? So today, dear friends, we're going to talk a little bit about ministry to children. So if you would, Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 13. Then they, and that's the people, the parents and the families that were all around that Jesus was teaching, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. How many of you have ever taken a child to the mall to Santa Claus to get a picture made? Let me see your hands, parents. Come on, everybody who's done that. How many of you have had a child with old Saint Nick, if you will, in the mall, absolutely reject and scream and holler? Anybody? Do you have a child that when somebody came up to them that they weren't familiar with, recoiled and held on to you like for? Do you think that those children, if they were afraid of Jesus, would have been crawling up in his lap for him to hold and to bless? Don't you know that those children were absolutely drawn to Christ Jesus? And he took them up in his arms, laid hands on them, and blessed them. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you call us even as children, and that you have given us, Father, from your word, a special dispensation to not just parents, but to all in church, to minister to these little ones. God, would you help us to make sure that we have our priorities straight and our hearts open for ministry to our little ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? In verse 14 that we just read, Jesus said, or the scripture says, that Jesus was displeased. Is that what it said? And that's what it says in the New King James Version. But it doesn't just say displeased. It says he was greatly displeased. You ever seen Jesus unhappy? Not very often. What's another time you remember that Jesus got upset? When he ran the money changers out of the temple. We know that he got upset with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he called that group. He said, you brood of vipers. You bunch of dead men's bones that are rotting like you're in a grave. And the scripture says here that Jesus was greatly displeased. Other versions say indignant. He was indignant. In other words, he was angered by something that was unjust or just downright mean. Sometimes that word means sad and angry at the same time. Have you ever been sad and angry? Sometimes we just get angry, but Jesus was sad and angry here. So what was Jesus indignant about? What was he upset about? They were keeping the children from coming to him. Jesus was greatly displeased, indignant, upset, sad, hurt by adult people, church people. Listen, there you don't get any more churchy, if you will, than the disciples, right? I know the New Testament church really wasn't founded yet, but you don't get any more churchy than disciples. They were the ones who helped start the church. And these were the very people that were trying to keep children away from Christ. Now listen, as we read through this scripture, there are some great subjects to talk about here. Very great subjects. First of all, like verse 15. We must receive the kingdom like a little child. Boy, there's a good sermon that you've got to come with faith and trust like a child. But that's not my focus today. How about verse 16? That Jesus must have been a really fun guy and that he really loved the children because they were just attracted to him. That's a great, no, that's not my focus today either. My focus today is going to be how we as a society, as we as a people can deny children access to Jesus. How do we do that? First of all, folks, we realize that there is a general lack of care for children in many societies. We see it all over the world. People just don't care for children like they should. In some places, dear friends, it is survival of the fittest. It is the law of the jungle. And children are ignored at best and at worst abused deeply to death. Now listen, you may be thinking, wow, that's one of those third world countries. You think again. Folks, we are supposed to be watching and taking care of and guarding our children. And it happens right here in these United States. It happens right here in Texas. It happens in Montgomery County. Folks, we need to be very careful that we guard the hearts and lives of our children. A lot of children are taught to steal to support their family. Why? Because kids seem to be able to get away with it, or they're not noticed, or they think if they're caught that they're not going to be prosecuted. Others are used for an illicit drug trade, and some, and many, are used in prostitution rings. It is a terrible thing. That's why you watch your kids today, because they can disappear, right? Folks, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to wake you up. We need to guard our children, guard them and take care of them. Many are enslaved across the world in sweatshops and forced into things that would absolutely put an adult down to the ground. Well, we don't only have these problems in other countries. We have them right here in our own country. Maybe not so much at such an alarming rate, but in our culture, we still have a lot of problems. You realize how much we allow advertisers to post children in sexually explicit ads? If it doesn't make you sick, then something's wrong with your heart and your brain both. We permit the media to glamorize violence and sex and drugs, and not just for adult programming, but in programming that are targeted at children. Do you realize that the state, the government, is not just approving, but sponsoring transvestite drag queens reading to children in kindergarten so that they can teach them about their culture and ask them, don't you want to grow up to be a drag queen? You're going to allow that? Yes, you are. Oh, I'm not allowing that. Yes, you are. Oh, I'm not. Yes, you are. Are you down there stopping it? Are we down there stopping it? Folks, I'm going to tell you. The government is pushing them to come to a sexual perversion and not to Jesus. We allow industries to conduct psychological studies on how children can become more open to sexual perversion. We allow industries to do that at the same time that we allow them to protect their profit margins more than we do children. Our social programs that we have in these United States, listen to me, the social economic programs that we have in these United States encourage parents to skip out on their children. Encourage them to skip out on the responsibility of providing for their own children. And that leads them to poverty and to absent parents and a lack of guardianship. You know, we may actually have less orphans in this country than any other country in the world. I think we do. I think the statistics show that we have fewer orphans in the United States than any other place in the world. But I'm going to tell you, millions of parents have practically abandoned their children. That's why we need to change. So let me ask you, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in Mexico or Haiti, you choose the place. Wherever it is, let me ask you, what is your hope and dream for those children that are abandoned, that are taken into the sweatshops, that are brought into the drug trade, that are brought into prostitutional trafficking? What is your hope for them? What is your desire for them? Would it be to give them a loving home? Say, yeah, if it is, you say yes. Yes, absolutely. We would want them to have a loving home. Is it to give them an education and an opportunity to live a different kind of life? Say yes, because I know that you would. I hope you would. Is that our hope and is that our dream for these children? Yes, but is that enough? No. You know what our real hope is? The real hope for these children is for them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to give their life to Jesus and to come to know Him and to grow up to be Christians and Christian parents and to teach their children so that there is a culture in their life of following in obedience to God. Isn't that our real hope? Is that not why we do missions? Yes. So by all means, send those missionaries to Africa and send them to the slums of New York and send them to Haiti. What about the Woodlands? What about Magnolia? I'm not intentionally trying to be dramatic, but I was. What's our hope and dream? Not just for those kids that we've been talking about, but for our children and for our grandchildren. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? Is it your dream? Do you have a dream for your children and your grandchildren? Is it just for them to have a better life on this earth? Is that your hope and your prayer, that they just have a better life? That they live in a better home, that they have a better job? Or is it to lead them that they might not just have a better life on this earth, but that they might have eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven? And that they might teach their children to have a culture that learns what real love is. You know, we've got to be real careful because we can absolutely send money for missions for all those children in those far off places, those little orphans, and we can neglect our children and they too can die without Jesus, without a knowledge of the Lord, and lead their children and their children's children down the exact same path. If we don't teach them to learn to love the Lord God. Sometimes this world is a horrible place to children. And sometimes the church is no better. I didn't expect you to amen that one, but I do want you to realize it's true. Sometimes the church denies children access to Jesus, just like the world does. The disciples did. I heard the story about a church in the city that was so clannish and so cliquish that nobody felt welcome. And there was a huge tornado that came in and it hit the church. It just destroyed the church. And they had this beautiful statue of Jesus in the lobby. And that statue was picked up and thrown out into the street. People walked by and they said that a man walked by and had a very real conversation with the guy next to him. He says, that's the first time I've ever seen Jesus come out of that church. Ouch. Oh, man. Some churches require parents to be a member in order for their children to participate in their children's programs. Did you know that? They do. You know, I'd much rather have kids dropped off at this door and the parents go shopping for a couple of hours so that we can have those kids for a couple of hours than I had for them not to be able to come. Amen? Whether it's Wednesday night Awanas or vacation Bible school, that's what vacation Bible school is for, because a lot of parents think vacation from the kids. Praise God. Bring them in. Amen? Have a big fall festival with so much candy, the kids go, I'm going there because I get more candy. Great. They're also going to hear a sweet message while they're here. Church on Sunday, church on Wednesday, childcare programs, vacation Bible school, summer, all types of programs. Folks, I'd just rather have kids come than for them not to come at all. And our challenge is how to get them here. How do we get them here? And teach them about the love of God, and teach them about the love of Jesus, and teach them how to be born again so that they too can know what real life is about. Are we doing the things we need to do to get those kids here? And I'm going to tell you, the best way to do it is to invite the parents and to tell the parents and have your kids invite kids. Kids are the greatest missionaries. I love to hear children witness to children. Let me ask you, do God's children of all races feel welcome in our church? I look across the congregation and we're pretty solid in a particular color. I'm not making fun of you and I'm not mad at you for being here. But would any race be comfortable in our church? Let me ask you to ask yourself very truly that. Would they be? I would hope and pray that they would be. Any race, any color, any culture. We need to be very careful that we are welcoming to whoever God brings in that door and inviting whoever we are coming to invite them to come in that door. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Do people who dress differently feel comfortable in our church? You know, there are some cultures that dress different than I do. And some of them's the exact same people, but they're a different culture from my age to their age. They dress very differently. Would a homeless person feel comfortable coming into our church? Would they feel welcome? I'm not just trying to stomp your toes. I'm just trying to open your eyes. I really am. Do people who have very few nice clothes, would they feel comfortable in our church? Oh, I pray they would. But you know, some churches are just not very welcoming to children. Even if they're very welcoming to all adults. Because they're not welcoming to children, they are all about the adults. It's all about the older people. And I mean, you know, those who are old enough to take care of themselves and drive themselves there and to pay for their own stuff and to do their own thing. That was the situation in Mark chapter 10. You go, oh, finally, you get back to the scripture. Yes, I'm headed back there. That was the situation in Mark chapter 10. The disciples believed that they had more important things to do than to be messing with children. The disciples thought Jesus had more important things to do than to bother with children. Don't be bothering the master. Don't be bothering Jesus. And Jesus is going, whoa, 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 whoa. This is what the kingdom of heaven is going to be made of. You old people, you need to be like them. You want to see what Jesus thinks of children? Look over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Just turn back a little bit in the word there. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. And let's look at what Jesus said about ministry and churches that have children. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, can you hear them? Listen, those disciples were regular guys. They were real people. And they were jockeying for a position around Jesus, weren't they? A couple of them even had their mama go ask Jesus if they could sit next to him on his right hand in heaven. Mama! They didn't even have enough guts to ask themselves. They sent their mother. They're jockeying for position. And I'm going to tell you, don't you even begin to think that Peter didn't hold it over the heads of some of those guys that he had walked on water and they had not. Some are going, yeah, we saw how you sank. He said, yeah, but I was up there for a little while. Where were you? These guys were always jockeying for position in front of Jesus. And look what they said there in Matthew 18. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it those who walk around with you, Jesus? Is it those who preach and teach with you, Jesus? Is it those guys who take care of you, Jesus?" "It's us," isn't it, Jesus? Look what Jesus said. So they're strutting around there waiting for him to go, "Oh, guys, it's you. It's you, disciple." No, he said, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And look at the next thing. "And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Would you like to entertain Jesus? It's going to be harder for you today because most of our children are at camp. Those sponsors right now are the ones that are being Jesus to our kids. If you haven't been back beyond the GP Kids sign in a while, you ought to see what goes on back there. Those who give up being able to be with the adults and those who teach back there and sing back there and bring crackers and punch and cookies and change dirty diapers, etc., etc., etc. They're being Jesus to those kids. Scripture says it right there. "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." But look at verse 6. Do you have it open there? Look what Jesus said in verse 6. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Do you get that scripture? Do you understand what it's saying? If you teach them to move away from Jesus instead of towards him, it's better that you would be dead. I guess what he's saying is, Christian, here we go. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you confessed your sin to him? Have you asked him for eternal life? Have you asked him to take you to heaven? Have you been there? Are you a Christian? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Of all the things that I'm seeing in the Word of God, and there are many of them, here's one thing that I notice. If you're going to ignore anything in the Scripture, don't ignore the babies. Oh, I know that there's also a sin unto death. We talked about that another time. But the scripture says here, if you're going to ignore something and let them be ignored, don't let it be the children. Make sure that they get the attention. Why? Because they grow up to be the product of their environment most of the time. But have you noticed? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Children are resilient. I have seen some awful kids come from some great homes. And I have seen some incredible, godly kids come from some terrible homes. Thank you, God, that children have a heart to. Yes, it's their responsibility when they get older to come to Christ, but it's your responsibility to make sure it doesn't have to be that way. I'll move on. Some churches are not welcoming to children because they get in the way of the adult ministry. Because they are a pain. They distract. Secondly, children and youth, they cost money. Don't they? I don't ever remember a time in my life when any one of my adult sons came to me and said, "Dad, I just earned this check here." Not one time. Sorry, guys, that's just the truth. But how many times have they come to me, "Dad, can I borrow the car?" "Yeah. Can I have some money for gas? By the way, I'm a little short for my date tonight, too." I did it. Some parents, we train them up. But in the church, youth and children cost money because babies, they produce dirty diapers, not money. They cost time. They cost effort. And according to God, they are so worth it. Grandparents, and you're going, preacher, I'm kind of tired of this message. I don't have any kids. Well, maybe one day you will. And how about this? If you're a part of the church, you're still a part of this message. Because God says the church, and who's the church? Is it the building? We're the church. You're the church. We're supposed to be taking care of those children. So children cost money, and they don't bring in the revenue, and our attitude towards children and youth ministry actually can be seen in the budget that you make for them. True? How much of the budget is designated for their ministry? About half of ours. Thank you, God. How we take care of the children's facilities. So sometimes churches are keeping children away from Jesus just because they don't plan for them. They don't budget for them. And how about this one? Not allowing or encouraging children and youth to participate in church. Now, wait a minute. We have a Sunday school class for them. Preacher, what do you want? I want them after vacation Bible school to get up on this stage and sing the song they learned. And don't you think I had one thing to do about that except to give my okay? Because all you who taught the kids and Carrie and those who worked all week long and taught them those songs, I didn't teach them one song. Matter of fact, when I was singing them, I was teaching them to sing it off key. But those kids wanted to come and participate, and they were a part of worship today, and they have been many times before. Our youth, I am so thankful. Where's Mitch? Where are you? There you, Mitch. Thank you that you include our youth and stuff, and you show them. Nathan, where's Nathan? Nathan, thank you for taking care of our kids and letting them be a part. There he is. I knew he was in here somewhere. I said, man, if you weren't here, I was going to catch you and talk to you about skipping out of church. He uses our youth for the praise team. And they do a great job. But there's a reason they do a great job. They were encouraged. And they did it in the youth department. And then they do it here. It's called training them up, right? There are two extremes in church. One church says, we need to be together. And I've heard this from people. Well, we don't have a youth minister. We don't have a children's minister. We all meet in church and we're all together. And we don't want our families separated. And you know what? There are some really good things about that. About having them all together. Amen? There is. And yet they don't have any activities specifically for their children or their youth. It's just all about the adults, and the kids are there, and that's great. And then there's the other side of that, where some churches absolutely positive, they separate everybody. The adults are over here, and the youth are over here, and the children are over here. The children have their own worship. The youth have their own worship. The adults have their own worship, and never the individual compartment shall meet. You know, there needs to be a happy medium there. If you know how it's done, would you please come see me? It's tough. It's hard. And we have the children, and they have children's worship. And we've got nurseries, and we've got the little ones. And they're not just being babysat. They're being taught the Word of God, even down to this size. They're getting it all. And then once every 6 weeks we have, and boy, somebody's going to be mad at the preacher, so just go ahead. Decide to get angry right now and be mad at me for a little while, because here it comes. Because every 6 weeks or so, we have what we call family church. And some of the families go, why can't we have our kids back in the back? So hard to worship with children. Summon the little children to come unto me. Sometimes they need to see it in big church with the big people. And they need to learn how you are doing worship. And are you following in the bulletin or are you reading the latest story on your phone? Oh, did I see several phones go down all of a sudden? No. I love that we have children's worship at Grace Point. I truly do. Do you know that my ministry, hello, your pastor's ministry began in children's church? I was asked by a group of people in the church, would you come do puppets with the kids in children's church? Do you know why they did it? I don't know either. But for years, from the time I was about 13 or 14 till the time I was 18 and graduated, I did children's church and I did puppet shows and puppet ministry and I preached everything from monkey stories to Bible stories. Do you know that that group of kids at South Avenue Baptist Church, it took 1 gallon of punch and 2 bags of cookies for all the kids to have a glass of punch and a couple of cookies? And so they always, every Sunday, bought 2 gallons of punch and 4 bags of cookies. 2 for the kids, 1 for Gary. 2 bags of cookies for Gary, 1 gallon of punch. Because that's what it took to keep me going. You, Mama? Am I making this up? No. I learned to preach in children's church. That's why I still feel like I'm preaching to kids. I love that we have children's church. Is it just so that the little ones don't disturb our worship? That's not all of it. Sometimes adults need to hear a word without constantly taking care of their children. I get that. But that's why we have the programs that we do. Children's church, dear friends, I want you to understand Carrie and Carrie's heart. We talk about this. Carrie Centilli is our children's minister. She's with the kids right now. She's with the children at camp. I want you to know her heart. Our children's worship is geared for children. She preaches to the children. I know she's not ordained, but she's preaching to the children. It's okay. It's all right. She's preaching to the children, and she can preach a better sermon than pretty much anybody in here for those kids. And they get it. There's some who've been back there. But children's church is geared for them, and it teaches our children how to listen and how to engage. And when they're in here, I know that the messages sometimes, it's a little harder for them to understand. So what do? You give them the bulletin to write on, and you give them some paper to write on, or you give them their phone to watch a little video or to play on. But I'm telling you what, is that teaching them how to listen and how to engage? And what you do during this sermon, is that teaching them how to listen and how to engage? That's what children's church is for. And so when they come in here once every 6 to 8 weeks or so, and they're in here, I want you to notice what they have. They have little papers to take notes. They're encouraged to, if they can't take notes and they can't read and write good yet, to draw a picture of what they heard about. That's the way that, I love it. I want some of you to draw a picture of what I preached today. You can send it to me. Bring it to me. Okay. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned about who's going to lead this church in years to come? If you're not concerned, who's going to lead tomorrow? If we don't train up our children in the way that they should go, there won't be anyone coming behind us to serve, to preach, to teach. I am so thankful, I'm going to say it again, for Nathan and Mitch and Carrie, who work so hard to have our kids involved, our young people involved, our young adults involved. Now, I can't call our teenagers kids anymore because they're young adults. Okay, they can be kids. That's why we love them. Parents, you are the church. Your children, your teenagers, your babies, they're the church. My last point on how the church keeps children from Jesus is this one. It's you. Parents, do you keep your children from coming to Jesus? And he said, well, I don't keep them from coming to Jesus. Do you talk about spiritual things at home? Do you talk about spiritual things with your kids? On the way home from church, do you say, hey, what did y'all talk about in children's church? Or what about that point the preacher brought out? And maybe you think, you know, well, the preacher could have done a lot better job preaching this morning. Well, how about you recap it for him on the way home? And I don't mind if you call me and say, hey, what about this point or that point? I'll learn it. I'll do it next time. How do you think I get the stuff I get? I read too. I have to study. I mean, I can't depend on my kids and my wife to give me all my illustrations. I look at your kids, your wives, and your husbands. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, which we read last week and talked about last week. Parents, if you're not talking about spiritual things at home, you're not doing what God said to do. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19 says this, fix these words of mine, God said. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and your minds. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Tie them as symbol on your hands, sorry. Hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Let me repeat that. Teach them to your children. Let me repeat that. Teach them to your children. Talking about these things when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Like I asked last week, when is that? All the time. Mamas and daddies, you do not have to give a 1 hour devotion for your kids for it to count. If you can get kids to sit through a 1 hour devotion, you need to be up here. I can't do it. It doesn't have to be long. Do something. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard. Mamas, daddies, grandparents, it's hard. Life is difficult. It's hard to find the time, and Satan is going to distract you. Please try. Do something with them every day. Make mention of spiritual things in your home. Talk about the sermon. It's a great way. Get your bulletins. Take them home. You know, that's what the men used to do every Monday morning, before we started kind of laid off for a little bit. Every Monday morning, we took the bulletin and we talked about the sermon. Just recapped. What touched your heart? What did it say to you? What did God bring to your heart and your thoughts? Talk about the sermon. Talk about the Sunday school lesson. What did you learn? Ask them. Parents, the spiritual life of your children is your responsibility. You guide them in other area of life. God expects you to guide them in the spiritual area of life too. In the most important part of their life, their knowledge and their faith in God. And they can't do it on their own when they're young. That's why God's word says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they'll not depart from it. Folks, that's why God gave children to older people. And what I mean by older is young and medium age and old people, grandparents, aunts and uncles. Would you bow your head with me? Close your eyes, and would you hear this, and would you allow this to be a focus of your prayer? Would you ask God right now, Heavenly Father, would you put in my heart the things I need to do to be a better teacher? God, would you help me in church to do what I'm supposed to do so that I'm not a distraction to children or other adults? Teach me to show them how to be engaged in the service. God, help me to do that at home. God, help me to take one little scripture and break it down and say, what does this mean? And think about it for the day. God, let me not be a deterrent for any child coming to Jesus. Amen. Father, that is our prayer. You've blessed us with so many children, so many beautiful, young, vibrant couples, so many wonderful, vibrant, caring grandparents, great-grandparents. God, we are so blessed. Help us, God, not to be a deterrent in any manner of a child coming to you.